Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Matt. So, this morning we have four readings. I think Andrew stitched me up, to be honest. But there you go. So we start in 1 Samuel 13, 13 to 14, in which it says, "You have done a foolish thing," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command." And then we move on to 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart.'" And then just a few verses on, 1 Samuel 16, 12 to 13, it says, "So he sent for him and had him brought him. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, 'Rise and anoint him. This is the one.' So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went on to Ramah." And finally, we move into the New Testament in Acts 13, verse 22. "After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.'" We thank God for the reading of his word. Good morning. It's my pleasure this morning to continue our series on the Father's heart. That's David, by the way. This is a topic which I know from various conversations can be quite emotive to some people. So I want to start my talk this morning simply by saying, God is good. And the reason God is so good is because God knows, because God looks at the heart. I hope and I pray that you're encouraged by what God has led me to say this morning, and that you're encouraged to possess warm hearts for God. I'm also terribly grateful to Andrew for giving me not one, not two, but four passages to preach from this morning. But they do all link. And that's really important when we're considering the Father's heart. And as I read them in order, in preparation, I read them almost as a what not to do list, followed by a what to do list. Saul, he let God down. David, he was a man after God's own heart and therefore couldn't let God down. I'm not going to patronize you this morning by asking which one you'd prefer to be. So, what was so wrong with Saul? Quite simply, Saul had done a foolish thing. Samuel, I find, is very black and white about such things. He doesn't really beat around the bush. And he was particularly disappointed with Saul. You see, Saul had all of the attributes of a king. He was built like a king. He fought like a king, as well as fighting like a king. In fact, Samuel goes as far as to say, when Saul was anointed, when Saul was declared king, that there was no one in the kingdom like Saul. No one else that he could see that could do it. That's in 1 Samuel 10, 24. And the crowd reacted to Saul. They replied, "Long live the king." They recognized Saul as a king. But the problem was how he looked, how he seemed, was irrelevant when his heart went to the wrong place. This morning, please know this. No matter what you look like, no matter what you're wearing, whether you've had time for a shower this morning or not, if your heart is for God this morning, then you are honoring him. Then you are in the right place. God didn't order Saul to be regal. He did not suggest that Saul built statues to himself or to be worshipped by men. Saul was ordered to glorify God and chose to do otherwise. And that's why God was so disappointed in Saul. Now, while I was trying to reduce the length of my sermon, God gave me another paragraph. So I have to follow God's word. And it's because this passage today, well, all of these passages today are so unbelievably relevant in today's society. Today's culture, certainly in the Western world, is built on outer appearances. Whether that be through social media, Hugh Hefner, when he died, the eulogization of him, Hollywood, how many likes you get on Instagram. Our society is built on our outer appearances. It's a huge, huge issue in today's society. So much so, we spend so much time trying to look good or choose the right filter on our social network that we forget to look at our heart. Now, I'm not saying don't make an effort. I'm not saying that you can't look good. But I'm saying take that moment to think about actually whether your heart is in the right place as you do that. You can post whatever you like online, but God knows what's going on inside. It would just seem remiss of me in today's culture not to comment on that, because we're so focused on how we look to everyone in the world, not just our friends, everybody. But God knows what's on in here. And that's really what's important, not how many likes you get on your Facebook page. So Cassie often calls me a scruff. And she has been particularly keen, Cassie's my wife, by the way, for those that don't know. She's been particularly keen for me to update my wardrobe in time for this new position I'm in. I've been rather resistant. Clothes bore me, to be honest. They don't interest me. And I'm pretty comfortable in my old scruffy clothes. Cassie is right, of course. I have to say that. She's here. But if I am going to be successful in my church role, I do need to appeal to people's sensibilities. If me being a scruffy is a distraction for you guys to be able to hear my word, then I shouldn't be scruffy. But what is more important than my clothes is my heart. I could be the smartest person in the room. That's never happened. But I could be the smartest person in the room. But if my heart wasn't focused on doing what God leads me to do, then there's no reason for me to be standing up here. As humans, we notice appearances more than ever now. And Cassie is right that I do need to respect those sensibilities. Because if I'm up here and I'm scruffy, it's embarrassing to me, it's embarrassing to her, and you guys probably won't notice anything of what I say because you'll be so focused on what I'm wearing. But if I was up here saying my words, if I was up here giving a lecture, and none of it came from God, if I forgot the purpose of what I was doing, if my heart wasn't in it, then I would actually say I'd look even more foolish than looking scruffy. Saul, he forgot his place. He forgot his purpose. And in so doing, he dishonored God. And he lost everything. Samuel said he would have inherited the whole kingdom. And he lost all of that. So this morning, I want to encourage you to listen to God, what God tells you to do. But more importantly than that even, listen to what God places on your heart. In 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord tells Samuel to discard David's brother Eliab's claim to the throne. So Samuel was talking about Eliab. God had told Samuel that it would be one of Jesse's sons. And Samuel actually makes it abundantly clear that he thinks that Eliab, the older brother, must be who God had chosen. That's what leads the Lord to saying, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We can take from this that Saul, having failed with Samuel, went to the sons of Jesse and naturally went to the first son that looked like he could be a king. And this was a time, of course, when looking like a king was quite important because kings were also soldiers. And to be big and to be a warrior and to really serve your men in that way was a real important thing. And yet it wasn't just Eliab that the Lord rejected. There was seven potential brothers that were bigger, stronger, more able from human eyes than David to be king. David was almost an afterthought, just out there tending some sheep. The father's heart wants what the father's heart wants, and he wants it on his terms. If you're like me, then you may sometimes think that God is making a mistake, letting that person do that or preventing this person do this. But here's the thing that I took away from preparing this for this morning. The Father's heart knows what is right, not just what he wants. And he'll wait until he gets it right, or we get it right for him. God does not make mistakes. David may not have looked like a warrior king. Seven other humans in his household were better suited, according to human eyes, than he was. But God wanted David. Sometimes we're full of doubt. I know that I can be. Why would God want me to do this? How on earth can I be good enough to do that? Here's the thing. God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows your heart, and he knows exactly what you are capable of. So next time you start to wonder whether it can be really you that he wants you to use, ask yourself this. If the Lord gives you his backing, how can you fail? David was eighth choice of his brothers, but God had chosen him, which made him the only choice to the heart of God. And here's some great news as well. David was immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. This passage talks of the Lord showing Samuel that David was the one, followed by anointment and the pouring out of the Lord's Spirit. The Spirit came onto David almost immediately and stayed with him forever. We later on read that the Spirit had left Saul, but David was definitely God's choice. God confirms it when he knows our hearts are right. God makes it clear when he knows we are following his actions. And I find that really reassuring, actually. I think sometimes we are plagued by the decisions we have to make. Roundabouts. Can I go? Should I go? Are they going to cut me up? Are they going to go? Often by the time I decide I'm going to go, it's not my turn anymore. It's reassuring that we have a God that makes it clear when we've made the right decision. And often we know that because we feel it in our hearts. He rests our hearts. He also does it through the power of our ministries, the power of our relationships with our work friends. He makes it clear in our hearts that we are doing the right thing by him. Cass and I had reluctantly, a few years ago, decided to walk away from Brigades. This was about 3 years ago. And that's despite it being something that was very close to our hearts. Cassie couldn't really return to her company. I hadn't had a company for a little while. And we just prayed together and asked God for a sign. I think in our human ways, we'd decided that we'd probably walk away. Now, 12 hours later, Cassie received a phone call. And it's from someone in our district, basically asking if we could go to Canterbury for a bit of a staff shortage that was happening here. 3 years later, we are very much at Canterbury. And it just goes to show that if you put God in control of these things, he really blesses you. He lets you know where he wants you. He makes it abundantly clear. So this is a very roundabout way, really, of me saying, pray and listen. And let God make those right decisions for you. That's what Samuel did. One fundamental difference between Saul and David was that Saul stopped listening, whereas David kept listening. If your heart is for God, then it's so much easier to see what the Father's heart wants for your life. So why did God choose David? Well, in Acts, we read that David was a man after God's own heart. Eliab and the other brothers would have been much as Saul was. They would have been kings for themselves. They would have forgotten to give their glory to God. The Lord knew that David was a man after his own heart because the Lord knew David's heart, much as he knows our own hearts. Andrew spoke last week of the woman caught in adultery. I was quite moved by that service, actually. But Jesus knew the hearts of all involved. He must have done. He knew that the Pharisees were weak-hearted, and he knew that the woman had a repentant heart. Because if he didn't know that, then his technique was extremely risky. Never doubt that God knows what is going on in here. I wonder how many of us sin and then try and hide it. I wouldn't be surprised if we haven't all tried that occasionally. There is no point hiding from God, as God knows anyway. In fact, God cares, and God is looking intently at your heart. David would go on to be quite a sinner. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He was extremely selfish at times. But David never stopped being faithful to God. That's not me encouraging you to be an adulterer or a murderer, by the way. But it is encouraging you to continue to be faithful to God. God knows where our heart is. He knows if we feel guilt or we feel repentant. He knows if we're just okay with our sin. God knows our heart, so we may as well just be honest with him. And sin gets in the way of that, which is why it's so important to want to change. Having a heart for God and having a heart after God's own heart means not wanting to sin. I preached in the church a couple of months ago, and I was greeted with the question, do you preach to the sinner? Me, being myself, thinking it was a trick question, I reply, rather cleverly, I thought, yes, every week. That man later explained to me that he meant in terms of street evangelism or in prisons or schools. He had forgotten that he too was a sinner. It really bugged me, actually. It stuck with me for quite a while. The arrogance of it, I ranted, as if he doesn't sin. But the truth was, I wasn't angry at him. I was angry at myself. He had asked me if I preached to sinners, and it reminded me that I too was a sinner. We all are. But if our hearts are for God, then we will sin less. I'd like to meet that man again and bring up that conversation and just ask for one slight word change. Do you preach to the unrepentant? If you're a Christian, you should be a repentant sinner every single day. The question should have been, do you preach to the unrepentant? And I am going to remain, potentially forever, as a repentant sinner, talking to other repentant sinners. But hopefully with my heart in the right place to do so. Now, there's a really lovely verse in Proverbs 31:30, which says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, Saul stopped fearing the Lord. He worshipped another god. He ignored God's commands. He used his charm and his kind of military ability to rule, but forgot that God was to have the glory. If we compare Saul and David, we find this. David was definitely a sinner, but he was faithful and fearful of the Lord. And that's our contrast. I asked you earlier on if you'd prefer to be like Saul, who let God down, or David, whose heart was for God. And I would imagine that just about 100% of you would have said David. Here's the thing, though. That comes with consequences. That involves bearing all to God. Letting him have access to your deepest and darkest things. That involves being prepared to do God's will regardless of yourselves. That involves setting your heart right for God, no matter what the results may be from that. It's really difficult to let God in because you don't know what he's going to do with that heart of yours. So it's a challenge, not just a throwaway remark. But if you really want to honour God, if you want your heart to be after God's own heart, then chances are that you need to change a little bit. It's a challenge, but a challenge that I believe God will bless you on every step of the way. So, David and Saul, they teach us many things. Neither were perfect, but there were fundamental differences between them. So I urge you this morning to open up your heart to God and seek him so that you may have anointing and blessings of David rather than doing the foolish things of Saul. Pray, read your Bible, trust in God and listen, and you will be after God's own heart. And yes, it will be challenging. It may even open some doors you didn't want opening. But surely, through God, it will be worth it in the end. But most importantly of all, and this is the take home really from today, God does not look at our outside appearances. He doesn't care what we look like. He doesn't care how we act. He doesn't care how much we hug people when they feel down if our heart is not in it. Because God looks at the heart. Keep your eyes on Jesus, but keep your heart with the Father. So I want to urge you all this morning to be a person after God's own heart. Shall we pray? Almighty God, anointed one, you are the bringer of all life and saviour of all. Help us, Lord, to have hearts after your own hearts, as you see what's in our hearts rather than our outer appearances. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our guide here on earth. Guide us to follow your will so that we can live good lives for you in all we do, before we reach our eternal reward. You are the King over all kings, Lord of all lords, and we are so blessed to be able to worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Stand as we sing response.
So thank you so much for worshiping with us this morning. There will be tea and coffee served downstairs. And if you're a student or a young adult, there will also be a lunch after that, being served after that. And please do remember if you're a man to come along this evening. So I'm going to finish with a blessing. A blessing I've known from when I was younger. May God's blessings surround you each day as you trust him and walk in his way. May his presence within guard and keep you from sin. Go in peace, go in joy, go in love. Amen.